Yeah, you can give him praise today, church. Give him praise. Yeah. You know, isn't it good just to settle into God's house and worship? You know, we leave such busy lives that sometimes we just don't settle down and just come into this presence and worship. We may pray a lot, do all those other things, and serve a lot, but sometimes it's just different when you come into the house just to worship, right? You know, a friend of mine this morning sent me this text that said, of a reminder to me about the story of Mary and Martha. Many of you probably know the story. Let me remind you, Jesus was going to come for a visit. Mary and Martha was preparing the house. And when Jesus arrived, Martha was just going crazy, right? Preparing the house, as many of you ladies would understand. And Mary was just focused on Jesus. And when Jesus sat down, she came to his feet and kneeled down just to hear what he had to say. And Martha was going about the business of the house, right? Doing everything that she could do to get it ready and prepare it. And there's this, you know, the looking at these two ladies, and, you know, it reminded me, and when he sent the text, he reminded me of this, that there was one concern that was on Mary's heart, and she was not going to let anything distract her from the one concern she had, Jesus. You know, it's kind of like coming into a service, like on a Sunday morning. We come in with so much from the previous week, and we come in with so much going into the next week that sometimes I think we forget about the very concern of today. Mary didn't do that, and the scripture says she was so focused, she wasn't going to let that moment be taken from her. And church, I challenge you today, don't let this moment be taken from you, because the worship that you just heard is going to give you courage for tomorrow. Right? The revelation from the word that I will speak here in a few minutes will give you resolve tomorrow. So if you're not concerned with today and you're coming in just to kind of stamp the car to check the box, I was in church today, you're going to miss out on everything that God has you for this coming week. And in that series that Pastor Nicole was talking about that I'm teaching, it's built different. God built you different. He's deposited in each and every one of us something to help us go against the culture that's erupting in our society today. All the things that you're hearing about and all the things you're reading about, God is depositing into us every single day the ability to get through the next day. And if we come in here and not settle in and worship and hear the word, if we don't receive what God has for us, you won't have the resolve for tomorrow. I don't know, let's just come in and have some resolve. Hear revelation from heaven, right? That was powerful worship. And I thank our team for delivering it today. See, I know what it takes to do that because I watched the team do it and practice throughout the week in preparation to speak Jesus to you today. So we appreciate you coming into the house today. We appreciate all those people joining us online. Many visitors in the house today and many visitors online. We are a blessed church. You are a blessed people. Let's bow. You can give him praise. That's absolute. Yeah, give him praise. I love that verse in the song they just sang. All my life he's been faithful. Church, I challenge you today to not look at the things that you think he's not been faithful with, but to concentrate on the things that he has been faithful, which is everything. Father God, I thank you, Lord. That's the song. I thank God today. I thank you, Lord God, for everything you've done, everything you're going to do. Lord God, I thank you for your faithfulness. I don't question that today, Lord. But Lord, I came into this house to receive. I came in today, Lord God, to bless you. I came in today to preach your word today, Father. Lord God, I pray that the ears that will receive today that you touch, that they are only concerned with one thing, the receiving of what heaven has for them today, and nothing else. So when they depart the house today or shut off their device, that they could go against the flow of the society that's bombarding us with things that are anti-God. Your scripture says you will raise up a standard against. Let us be that standard today, Lord. Let us be the standard, Lord God. Let people in the community know that we stand for a risen Savior. Let us be bold, Lord God. Let us stand firm. Let us speak clearly your message. And we thank you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Church, be seated and look at somebody and say, I am built different. I am absolutely built different. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rev. Thank you. Good morning, church. Yes, you're right. I am not Pastor Mike. And that's, well, Pastor Christine doesn't do announcements. Pastor Mike does announcements. We kicked them out for a week. If you're a regular attender here or watching online, you know the Pastor Mike does our announcements every Sunday. He does a fine job. I will not live up to the bar that he has set, but I'll do my very best. But we kicked them out of the church for a week and told them to go get some vacation. They have doing that. They need some time off, right? Everybody needs time off. We spoke that, right? Summer recharge. The beginning of the summer, we did a series on summer recharge to recharge your batteries, right there?
Yes, we all need that.
Yep.
Well, welcome again. It is so good to be in the house with all of you. And if you are here for the very first time, either in the building or online, welcome. We would love to connect with you if you are willing to connect with us. So the very best way you can do that, there is a QR code on the seat back in front of you if you're in the house, or there's also one on the bulletin. There's actually codes out there in the tables on the lobby. And if you're watching online, you can do it on your bulletin. But if you scan that QR code, that is the best way to connect with us. And if you are in the house, we want to bless you with a gift box. So if you take that code after you scan it out to the VIP Welcome Center, they will present you with a gift box. It has some information about how we're built different, what we believe, the exciting things going on at the church, information about us. I think there's some goodies in there, maybe chocolate, and there is a Chick-fil-A gift card. We just want to bless you with that and tell you we are so blessed that you chose to join us today. And if you do not have a church home, we would ask you to prayerfully consider making Crosspoint your home. We would love to have you as part of our permanent Crosspoint family. So welcome again to all the visitors.
Amen. Thank you, dear. Hey, coming up. Wow, you got applause. Wow. It's the camo pants.
It must
right?
be. It's like,
right?
I haven't said that in a while. I had to remember all that.
I walked into the bathroom this morning. She's got camo pants on. I said, whoa. Right?
I'm
all
right.
I'm all dressed up in, you know, in my blazer, and you're rocking that. I'm just gonna tell you, right? Hey, we've got something special coming up for you in a few weeks. Now, if you are a regular attender, you know Journey Night happens on a Wednesday night, and we relaunch Journey Night coming up on September 10th. It's gonna look a little bit different, folks. Pastor Mike has been talking about this. Next week, we're gonna start giving you the details on why that's going to look a little bit different. We're built different. We're going to do different things. Starting on September 10th, you're going to see exactly what that's looking like, right?
Yep.
But it's going to be good. God's just really laying on our hearts, the leadership of the church, to start doing some different things, and we're going to start doing that at least on the Wednesday night portion here very shortly. Do you have a special announcement coming up?
I have a couple special announcements. New things coming. Ladies, do not forget, time apart. It is September 26th and 27th down at Heartland. I believe early bird registration, which saves you some money, ends this week, I believe, maybe today.
I think it ended last week.
Oh, did it end last week? Oops, well, if you missed it, I'm sorry. But you can still register. So ladies, check that out. We've got information out in the VIP area as well. Resource Center, check that out. And you can sign up also out at the Resource Center. They've got QR code and information for you out there as well. So the most exciting announcement is Miss LG, who usually stands here, and Mr. Noah, who's back there, usually in the booth, and they sit over here with their youth. They had their baby on Friday. So baby girl, as we knew, but you know, you've all heard those stories where you get a surprise, but it was a girl, and I hope I don't butcher this name, but it is so beautiful, Agape Noelle Abel. And her initials are A-N-A, so her nickname will be either Anna or Anna, however you pronounce that, which means, in Haitian Creole, it means the favor of grace. So mama and baby are doing great.
Yep.
Hopefully they'll be here in a couple weeks. They're trying to just, you know, stay away from germs and things, but just continue to pray that LG heals well and the baby stays healthy, and just celebrate the exciting announcement and new life with them. So congrats if you're watching. I doubt you are, but are they watching?
They are watching.
Are they? Oh my gosh. Yes. Congratulations again, you guys.
He sent me, Noah sent me a text here a few minutes ago. Say, Pastor, we're watching. LG joined and they are watching, and they said they're going to yank him out to go to some class of how to take care of babies and things, the normal things they do.
That's important.
Yeah, that's important, right? So, but they are joining. So welcome from Altman Hospital, right?
Yeah.
Our youth leader is LG and her husband, Noah. The youth is growing,
yes,
right?
Yes. She's personally adding to our youth.
As the pastor told her to do, right? Good morning, Cross Point. It is so nice to see everybody. I know that summer is winding down. And I know many of you love summer like your pastor does. And it's been a really interesting summer, has it not?
Yes,
it has been. Your pastor is 7 weeks off of major neck surgery. So if you see me moving a little bit, you know, still a little bit, you know, funny, that's because of that. And, you know, I'm not as I'll say, well, Nicole says, you're not as alert as you normally are. You know, but they do these things, but they give you drugs and stuff. So I'll do the best I can, church. So give me some grace as I continue a recovery. It's great to see so many people today. So many people in the house. I am blessed. We have had so many people, church, joining this broadcast through Facebook. Thank you so much. And YouTube and, you know, the broadcast on cpoint.church, our online campus, the podcast throughout the week that this church puts out, the devotional that we put out every day that is on the message. If you have the Church Center app, you can follow the devotion that we do every single day after the message starts on Monday. You can be blessed there. You can follow along today on today's message on the sermon notes that should be on the app today. You have all these resources. There's absolutely no excuse, right? No excuse at all. But we're going to jump right in, folks, and I want you to recite what we've been saying in this series called Built Different. I want you to recite this after your pastor, if you would. I am not common. I am chosen. I am not random. I am redeemed. God formed me. God knows me. God calls me to stand out. I am built different. Give God praise today, church. You are. Yeah. Now, as I'm told, Pastor, you're a little bit different than most, right? So I'm built a lot different, right? And I'm rebuilt somewhat different now, I guess, right? Let's jump into some review, if you don't mind. In week one, we taught on set apart by design. God's design for us was be apart, right? He's going to take us and set us apart and call us his own. We were never meant to fit in today's culture. The Bible calls us aliens, right? God just didn't create you. He crafted you. You're a special make. You're a masterpiece, the Bible says. The Bible says you're God's handiwork, which means in Greek, pioma, which means you're a work of art. It's exactly what that means. You're a work of art. You're special. We taught you DNA and all those things that make you separate and apart from everybody else. There's nobody like you. God has a plan for all of you. He set you apart. He designed you to do more. We taught you. First, in the identity that you have in your relationship with Jesus is first, and then the activity or the opportunity that God has given you to do on planet Earth. And I taught you that the identity shows up before the opportunity. So the identity, the relationship's got to be right before the activity or the opportunity shows up. And a lot of us end up spending a tremendous amount of time on planet Earth on the identity part, getting this relationship with Jesus right, when all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. He'll finish out you later, right? Get that relationship started. You know that you don't start a relationship. It's not like this mature relationship at the very beginning, right? It takes time to get to know each other. It does take time to follow in the ways that Jesus wants you to follow in, but at least you have established identity. What's the identity? I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's who I am today, right? I don't have all the answers. I don't have it all right, but God's going to bless me with some activity to start, the opportunity here on planet Earth. Why? Because I am a blood-bought believer and disciple of Jesus, right? We move the next week into the sermon called Blurred Lines. What was once shameful is now celebrated in our culture. And what was once honored is now mocked. Are we living in that time today? You know, I told you that that message on that day would determine where you stood. I said the message would challenge you, right? It convict you maybe. It may offend you, and that all happened. Some were challenged, some were convicted, some were offended. I'm sorry if I offended you. I didn't mean to do that, but sometimes God's word just kind of cuts, right? And I ask, why are the lines blurred in our society today? There's a moral shift in our culture over time, right? We now agree with things we once called wrong. We agree with those things. And in the church, there's compromise. Some are falling prey to that compromise. Over time, we're starting to kind of believe some of the things that the culture of the time is telling us. And I taught you the role of the church is to be the pillar of truth. The foundation of truth in the society. The scripture bears that out, right? That's where truth shows up. And that truth comes from God's word. And how do we unblur the lines is what I taught you. We got to start seeing a little bit more clearly. We don't see as clear as we once did, right? We don't see as clearly as we once did. We taught you to stand firm. A lot of us are afraid to stand firm and what we believe anymore. With all the onslaught of things that are going on in our society, in our culture, the Christian sometimes is just kind of afraid, feeling you're the minority. Church, I'm going to tell you something. You are not the minority. Just because somebody makes the most noise doesn't make them the majority. It just makes them noisy. Anybody know a noisy person, right? Right. I said speak boldly 2 weeks ago. A lot of us are afraid to speak up. It's the very reason I preach that message. So today, church, we are going to go against the flow. The prevailing culture today is established one way, and the Christian is in there, and we're going to go against that prevailing movement today. The Bible uses water a lot, right? Rivers and lakes and oceans and whatnot. So we'll use some water today as well. We'll talk about water. But let's just jump right in. The words should be on the screen behind me. I hope the world is moving away from God at full speed. Full speed, right? The kingdom of God is advancing in the opposite direction. If you are in Christ, you are swimming upstream. But your life will intersect with the world in moments of tension, decision, and opportunity. At those collision points, your identity in Christ will be tested. Now, you know exactly what I'm talking about because many of us, all of us, have had our identity in Christ tested. And we're going to be talking about some kingdoms today. But there's a couple kingdoms that I want to just jump right in with. The first kingdom is the kingdom of the world. The culture of the world, right? It's defined by rebellion. It's defined by temporary pleasures or other things like that, right? Self-rule, my way or the highway, right? Things like that. The second kingdom is the kingdom of God. The exact opposite types of things. Surrender, holiness, eternal life. Surrender, holiness, eternal life. A lot of times we don't want to hear the word surrender. We like the things that say, I'm in charge, right? Ever go swimming? Speaking of current, ever go swimming? You know, a few years ago, I use this analogy, and I thought this fits so well for today. I'm going to use it again, a little bit different. Ever hear of rip currents? Right? Rip current. You look at the screen behind me, there should be some rip currents up there. There's rip currents right there. You know, a rip current is an area off the coast where the water is going away from the coast when all the other water is coming towards the coast. Now, you can't really see it. Like, if you're standing on the coast, it's hard to see. This picture here, if you're watching online, you can see it. I put some red arrows showing the rip currents. But it's from an elevated position, right? So you get to see them. You see all the water coming in. And if you've been to the ocean, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The water comes into the coast. If you're watching the hurricane that just went up the outer part of the coast and sent all this water into the coast and some of the flooding, right? A lot of rip currents showed up. Even though the water was coming in, there was areas where the water was going out. And the water going out area is super dangerous. Because you'll go into the water not knowing it's going out and not in. Well, Pastor, I would feel it. You don't. You feel pressure, but you don't really recognize from which direction the water's flowing. And you start to figure it out the farther you go out into the ocean, because the farther you go out, the pressure increases. Why? Well, of course, the water's getting higher on your body, right? And all of a sudden, unbeknownst to you, and you didn't have any idea it was coming, it starts to be so much pressure, it's pulling you out into the ocean. And what do you want to do right away? Turn around and start walking or swimming back to the coast. You just got yourself caught up in a rip current. And the most dangerous thing to do is do what is most natural. Head to the coast. Because you can't get back. Because the pressure's too great. And you'll start walking and swimming and exerting all this energy to get to the coast. And the entire time, you are running out of energy that you need to survive. The exact same thing that happens in our culture today. It's pulling us out into the abyss of the ocean. And you get out there so far, there's something you've got to do that's very unnatural to survive. You've got to start swimming parallel to the coast. Why? Because you've got to swim out of the current that's going out to the ocean and get to the current that's coming into the ocean, from the ocean into the coast. So you've got to start swimming parallel to the coast to get to the water flow to pull you back in. And if you don't do that, you are lost. You continue to fight that current trying to get into the coast and the rip current, you will never make it. You don't have the energy and strength. And as the minutes go on, you're losing energy to get there. And you don't make it. Many people drown unless they know how to get out of it. It's exactly what goes on in our culture today, folks. Exactly. We start walking a little further into the culture of the prevailing thing of the day, whatever that, right? The culture, whatever is going on, we're moving out into it, getting deeper and deeper, and we don't even realize it. And then if we realize how far we've gotten out there, we don't really know how to get back. And we start doing all these manufactured things to get us back there, and are not the right things. And we're going to talk about that today, folks. We're going to talk about those types of things. So today's culture, it looks really exciting. But if you embrace it, you'll be pulled far from God, which is the reason we're teaching on Built Different. Now, I'm going to use a lot of scripture today from the Apostle Paul and his teaching. So we're going to dive in there. The Apostle Paul writes about personal kingdom building. Building the kingdom inside of you and I, right? Personal kingdom building. I'm so glad that all I have to do is preach it, that I didn't have to write it, because that's a heavy lift, right? I thank the Lord that he selected people a whole lot brighter than I to put this all together, so we're going to study it today. And we're going to study Paul writing to this place called Galatia. Now, we talk about scripture like Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians all the time, but we really don't talk about what that means, like, what exactly? And I thought, you know, I'm going to do a little teaching today. We're going to start talking about what is Galatia first, right? So Paul is going to write to this region called Galatia. Now, that area in modern day is Turkey, right? It's in Turkey. And it's inhabited by the Galatians. Well, who are they, right? Who are the Galatians? Well, they are a tribe. Now, way, way back, hundreds of years before Jesus, this tribe called the Celtic tribe is migrating eastward, right? So they end up going throughout Asia Minor, that's Turkey and areas there, and they're pushing east. And part of that tribe was a tribe called Gauls. Okay, you follow me? Lots of people. Now, you know the people are migrating. They're moving quickly. And so they're migrating alongside people that believe kind of the way they do, right? You would probably do the same thing. Like, we're an Assembly of God church, so a lot of people sitting here today, you know, you understand that we believe we're a full gospel church. We believe in the Bible. If it says it, we believe it, that settles it kind of thing, right? That's just the way we are. Sometimes we can't explain why God put something in his word, but we're going to follow it because we know it's God's word, right? And there's other places that don't necessarily believe that. They say, well, this is good in this Bible. We don't necessarily like this, and they kind of start doing that. So, but that's what happens with tribes, right? So the Gauls start getting all together, and they become their own tribe, the Gauls, right? And they start to settle in this area, this region in Turkey, modern-day Turkey, right? Asia Minor, but now modern-day Turkey. And they just start to settle down. It's some of them are kind of rough, like they're warriors. They're worshiping all kinds of different things. You know, religion's a part of them, but it's not the same religion that you and I are involved with, right? Some would worship a tree or a river, and some were big fighters and warriors, and others were not. So they're just all together, right? They become a family. And they settle in Galatia. And that's roughly 200-300 years before Jesus shows up. Fast forward, Jesus comes on the scene, and then Paul shows up and starts his writings that we're going to talk about here roughly 50-60 years after Jesus. He's going to write to them, and why? They're struggling. They've got religion over here. They're now a Roman province because the Romans are in charge, and so they've been kind of taken over. So now the Romans are involved. They're bringing Jewish religion into it, the Mosaic law, Moses' law, right? They're bringing that in. They're all confused. They got all this stuff. They got migration and immigration going on. More people still coming in. Like, that doesn't happen today. Of course it does. And they got more people coming in, and they're getting this kind of like hodgepodge of all kinds of people. Theirs, ours, and whoever's. Is really what's going on. No different, folks, than today. No different. But they're really trying to figure it all out in their culture. They've got some of their own culture over here. The Jewish culture shows up, and they're trying to teach this, and you got to believe the Moses law, Mosaic law, and it's just a lot going on. Welcome to Canton, Ohio in 2025. Right? Isn't that what it is? It is. It's the same. It's the same. So Paul says, listen, I've got to help them out. And yeah, you know about Paul establishing churches. He was a missionary, so he's going to start establishing, and he has been establishing churches, right? And I just gave you the background. But as Paul establishes churches, there's always somebody coming along to change it. And say, no, you don't do it like that. You do it like this. So Paul's teaching. This is how we do it. Now, he's teaching Jesus. This Jesus guy showed up. And he's changed the world. You have your religion over here. And I think they were polytheistics. I believe that's what they are. They just worship anything, right? Anything. Paul's going to start writing to them and saying, listen, this is what you need to do. But I know this Jesus guy, and he's going to transform your world. And you can throw away all this other stuff, because I have found the truth, and the truth will set you free. Church, today, your pastor is going to cheat on that truth. And I promise you today, it's going to set you free, right? Lots of trouble in the region. False teachers showed up. They were called Judaizers. They're coming in and saying, listen, you don't need to do what you're hearing. All you have to do is follow the old law. And they start teaching the Jewish law, the law of Moses, right? If you really want to be saved, this is what you do. And then somebody else says, if you really want to do that, you do this. And that's the culture of today. It's just like today, folks. We're told as Christians, if we're not accepting certain sinful behaviors, we're really haters. And that was going on there. If you don't follow my religion, you're a hater. And if you don't follow this, you're this. And that kind of melting pot was going on. And Paul comes in to settle everybody down. And he starts to write to them. And he starts to say, salvation by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ is what you need. You don't have to worry about laws. You don't have to worry about all these other things. I've got one thing, and that one thing, Jesus Christ will set you free. And he explains to Christians, and he explains to everybody about Christian freedom. It doesn't mean it's a license to do what they've already been doing, but the Spirit's going to transform them and change them to live different, be different, being built different. Unbeknownst to them, some of that was going to take place. And they were listening to these letters, and we're going to dive right into Galatians 5, 16 through 17. As Paul writes to them, he says, but I say this, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Now, I just told you all these things that they're doing. So he's telling them, listen, I got one thing. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other. See, Paul is introducing two kingdoms that are colliding inside of all these people. The same two kingdoms, church, that collides inside of us today. The exact same kingdoms. The kingdom of flesh inside of me and you, and the kingdom that the Spirit that he's bringing to them. And now it's inside of them, and they're starting to collide. He says, listen, I got this, and it's going to have a collision inside of you. And you know that's exactly what's going on to everybody today. There's this collision of kingdoms inside of you. That's the challenge we have as people, right? That collision is inevitable. It's going to happen. He talks about that. That's going to be an inevitable collision. John even talked about that in John 15, 18 through 19. It goes like this. If the world hates you, know that they hated me first, before they hated you, Jesus talking, right? If you were the world would love you as its own, but because you are not part of the world, but I chose you out of the world, set you apart, right? Therefore, this world just hates you. Why? You're in a different kingdom. And today, the world hates the believer, the Christian, because why? We live under the rule of a different king. The kingship of Jesus Christ. And it's inevitable that there's going to be a conflict, right? 10 years after Paul wrote to the Galatians, he does the same thing in Ephesians. The same type of situation. He writes to them. He starts penning a letter to them. Now, he's in prison now, right? He's imprisoned in Rome. He's writing a letter to the Ephesian people in Ephesus. As you know, he's establishing these churches. Well, now he's in jail, but he's still writing letters of encouragement and trying to get people on the right track regarding the kingdoms of the day. And he introduces this thing called cosmic conflict. I'm naming it, right? Cosmic conflict. Now he says you have a type of situation going on inside you, the spirit and the flesh, but now he says it's going to be external attacking you. The powers of darkness, Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities. Great scripture. Many of you know it by heart. Against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So now he's moving from the internal battle of spirit and flesh to now there's an external battle that we have to worry about. The spiritual forces of darkness coming against us. He's trying to lay this all out. 12 years after he wrote to Galatians, he's writing the same type of thing to you. Now you got something. And this is the famous scriptures, the famous area he talks about, the armor of God. Why? Because there's external forces coming against you, and he talks about the armor. I'm not going into that today, but that's the area of the scripture where he talks about it. Right? So, what are we seeing today? Like, what are we seeing today? It's 2,000 years of buildup of collisions between the Bible and what is called moral relativism. What is that, Pastor? What is moral relativism? Moral relativism is the belief that morality is not absolute, but depends on culture, context, and individual perspective. That means there's no universal standard of right and wrong. This has been building up for centuries, folks. You're living now in the time where it's becoming such a thing. Paul's writing 2,000 years ago saying, you got to be built different. So he's introducing all these teachings to make you built different, not only for that day, but for today in 2025. That you've got to be built different. And you're in a different kingdom. And that kingdom builds people differently than the worldly kingdom. And while you're in God's kingdom, in the Christ kingdom, these things are still going to happen. There's going to be some collisions, both internally, flesh and spirit, and externally, spiritual forces. Why? Because you're in the kingdom that the other ones don't want you in. You're in the number one kingdom. When you're winning the race, everybody's trying to knock you out of first place. When you're at the top of the mountain, everybody's trying to kick you off. When you're racing to the top of the mountain, everyone's cheating to get you off. When you are in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, you are in the number one kingdom. So all spiritual forces and all the world's ways are coming against you. Why? You're in the number one place. You're in the number one position. And Paul says to be in the number one position, you have got to be built different. And he starts to write about it 60 years after Jesus walked the face of the earth. And he's teaching you, and he's still teaching you today. If you want to be in the number one kingdom, it's going to be a challenge, but it's worth the challenge. Mary, as I talked about after worship, she understood that. She sat at Jesus' feet and said, this guy's got something I got to hear. And nothing is more important than listening to this guy. Why? He's the king of the number one kingdom. And she recognized it. Right? And that's what Paul was writing about. But our morality, or lack thereof, in our society today has three things about this moral relativism thing that's going on. Right? No universal standard of right and wrong anymore. It's gone. It slowly went out with the riptide. It disappeared. And now it's three things that govern what goes on. One is culture. What does that mean, Pastor? That means society decides what's right and wrong, right? Society. The second thing is the context. That means the situation decides what's right and wrong. And the third thing is the individual decides what's right and wrong. Now, church, we're in trouble, right? If society tells us what's right and wrong, we're in big trouble. If the situation dictates what's right and wrong, we're in worse trouble. But if you and I get to decide what's right and wrong, we're lost. Guess where we're at today, folks? All three of these. And Paul saw it coming. He watched it in Galatia. He watched it in Ephesus. He watched it in another area, which we'll talk about here in a second. He sees this happening, and he's introducing this personal kingdom inside you. He's got to change. Jesus will change you. He will put you in the number one kingdom. What's the number one thing that contradicts moral relativism? The Bible. God's word. Why? Because the Bible never changes. It establishes truth. The foundation and pillar of our society was truth. And years ago, the Bible was at the center of it. Now it sits on a shelf with dust on it. It's not part of the mainstream culture any longer. But I want to tell you something. It's part of the mainstream church of Jesus Christ. It is the authority. It is what we as Christian believers go to because it has all the answers. Remember last week I talked about Isaiah and Isaiah 5:20. It said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That's today. Even back in Isaiah's time, for that day, he's speaking it. The six woes of that time. Woe to this or woe to that. And this is one of them. The first one, he says, listen, the big one. He says, listen, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Moral relativism. There is no standard any longer. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the way. Establish him himself. He established himself as the only way. So church, what do we do? Where do we go? How do we combat what's going on in our lives? How will we build different? What do we got to do? Let's jump into Hebrews 2:1. Watch what happens. It says, therefore, we must pay closer attention. The writer undesignated, we're not sure, to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. I can see it now, some lifeguard on the shore screaming at the person in the riptide, you can't come in, swim this way, swim this way. Jesus Christ, the church, Cross Point, all the churches, the Church of Jesus Christ, screaming at society and culture, there is a better way. And they're not listening. Why? Because they're caught in the riptide, being sucked out to sea. And the scripture says we must pay closer attention. Why doesn't it say just pay attention? It says pay closer attention. And I'm going to tell you why. It says pay closer attention because the writer knew that we would pay attention and we'd still go out into the riptide. So he says pay closer attention. Stand up and listen. Warnings are showing up. Pay closer attention. This is one of the several warnings and passages in the Hebrews. And it warns us to do this. Don't drift. It's the metaphor. It's the rip current. It's many of us today. It's talking about you're going to either drift or you're going to anchor. And right in the middle is you and I deciding. Are we going to drift and continue going out the sea in the riptide? Are we going to anchor it, saying there is a Bible? It does speak to me. There is a Jesus who leads the number one kingdom. Still decisions, right? Church and society today, it's not just a dramatic rebellion, but subtle neglect that causes spiritual drift. It didn't happen overnight. Our society didn't get bad overnight. It's been happening for a long time. And you know, some of us older people that have reached the tender age of 40 understands that. Shame on you, Robin. I'm being corrected by my prayer leader on my age. I never said I was 40. I just said the tender age of 40, right? Right? And you understand that when you reach the tender age of 40. It's a gradual change. God calls us to go against the flow of this change of society. So Paul introduces three things that we're going to talk about as we move to bring it in for our landing. He talks about this concept called built to resist. I call it defense. Ephesians 6:13, he says, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground after you have done everything else, stand. That means resist. It's not talking about, like a lot of people think that's a scripture specifically about the end of time. Well, it is. It's talking about the day of evil. It's about when things go really haywire at the end. But he's also writing about temptation and how fierce it is in your life. He's also talking about trials will be overwhelming in your life. He's also talking about the devil trying to dislodge you from your faith today. He's also talking about doubt, fear, depression, confusion, or spiritual fatigue that sets into your life. It's all those things that wreak havoc on your life. And he is saying to the church, stand your ground. Resist. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the King of the number one kingdom, built you different. He has built you to stand. He has built you to resist. He has built you different. You are no mistake, church. You are part of the number one kingdom in the galaxy. Whether you stay in the number one kingdom is your choice. Whether you join the number one kingdom is your choice. But I've been in the number one kingdom for an awful long time, and I'm going to tell you, there's no other kingdom like it. It is the number one kingdom. If you've been in the kingdom, give him praise today. Jesus is my king. And Paul's teaching about that. He says, believers were created for resistance, not convenience. See, we want convenience. The world says, don't you want to have an easier life? I'm on trial right now, folks. I'm on trial on the earth for where I'm going to spend eternity. I've got to resist all these things on planet earth and live for the number one kingdom and the only king, so I get to the other side and spend eternity with the number one kingdom and the number one king. That's what I'm after. That's what I want. And Paul's teaching us that. He's writing from prison in Rome, 60 AD. After death, he writes to the Colossae city, right, in Turkey. Colossians 1:13. He's doing the same thing, folks. He's trying to get this message across to you and I. Not only to the prevailing culture of the day, but today, 2025. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. He even introduces the kingdom. Listen, it's a kingdom of darkness. After you. And then he transfers us into the kingdom of the dear son. He shows you and represents two kingdoms. And he mentions being rescued. You've got to be rescued from one to get to the other. He identifies the kingdoms to you and I. And he uses this word rescue. Why? Because it's dangerous in the kingdom that you're in. And you need rescued. It's dangerous. You don't even realize how dangerous it is. And he uses the word transferred. In Greek, that means to go from one kingdom to another kingdom. It literally means that. I'm going to transfer you from the kingdom of darkness that you're living in to the kingdom where you should be in, the number one kingdom. With the number one king. And he knows that king in the number one kingdom, personally. So he has the authority to tell you about it. Your pastor knows the number one king in the number one kingdom, so I could tell you about it. Many of you know the number one king in the number one kingdom, so you have the authority to go out in the community and tell others about him. You have been granted authority. The Bible says you've been granted power as well. You know, that scripture, I just got to say it, it has nothing to do with spiritual improvement. It's not like you're going to improve in the kingdom of darkness, folks. No, you got to get rescued from that kingdom and get to the next other kingdom. It's not about improvement in that kingdom. It's a total change of authority. Paul also writes about built to shine. I call that witness. Philippians, same thing. Philippi 2:15. Live clean. Innocent lives as children of God, shining like the bright lights in the world, full of crooked and perverse people. I don't know, maybe it's just your pastor. We've got a world full of crooked and perverse people. It's a Roman colony now in modern day Greece. See, Paul's reminder, the way believers live, especially in that corrupt culture of then and today, should be visibly different. The believer should be visibly different. Not bitter, not argumentative. Hear me. Not argumentative. Not dim by a compromise, but bright, bold, beautiful, reflecting the holiness and the joy of Christ in a broken world, reflecting the number one king in the number one kingdom. Because you're disciples of it, is what he's writing about. And his overall thoughts, he goes like this: the darker the culture becomes, the brighter your faith, integrity, and obedience shine. The darker it gets, the brighter you become, right? And Jesus himself emphasizes this concept, as Paul did. You're built to advance. I call that going on the offense. And Matthew talks about that in 16:18. And I tell you that you are Peter, Jesus talking, and you, and on this rock, on you, on your life, on all lives, I'm going to build something. I'm going to build something different is exactly what it means, folks. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will never overcome it. It's the conversation going on when Jesus is asking the disciples, who are people saying I am? Who do people say I am? He knows what they're saying, but he's having this conversation just like you and I have the conversation with people. Well, who is this Jesus, Pastor? Who is this guy? That's the conversation going on. And Peter comes forward and says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, Matthew 16:18 is not a passive scripture, folks. Notice how it says, and the gates of Hades will not overcome the church. What are gates for? Defense. The scripture says the gates of Hades for defense. Why? Because some kingdom's coming for it. And it will never be able to withstand the onslaught of the kingdom of Christ coming at it. And the gates meant for defense cannot hold up to the number one kingdom led by the number one king. Never. No matter what you think, no matter what it looks like, no matter what happens in the world. And so the scripture specifically says in Matthew, citing the words of Jesus, says it can't happen. I don't care how big the defense is. I don't care how big the gates are. My church, which I lead, is coming for it, and I'm going to wipe it out. It's powerful. It's powerful. It reflects back to Daniel 2:44, many, many centuries earlier, folks. He's talking about kingdoms. He says it like this. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms, bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. Why is Daniel saying that prophetically? Because it's the number one kingdom going to be led by the number one king. Church, I want to wrap up today as our music team is preparing to come back. And I want you to really get this in your head as you're transitioning to leave the service today or shut off your device. What do? We've got to continue to resist what's going on in our society today, the culture, the prevailing culture of today. As believers in the number one kingdom with the number one king, we've got to resist. All those things that we hear about, church, there is the authority of the number one kingdom. And the Bible spells that authority out. And I thank God that it's there. We have to resist. That's our defense. We have to shine. That's the witness that I talked about. But we have to advance. Advance what, Pastor? We have to advance the kingdom. That's the call to us today, to advance the kingdom. A number of us this past week went over to Malone University as they were moving students in. Malone students, give me a shout. There you go, see? You can give Malone. Yep. We adopted roughly 25 kids. Students, you may see over the next few weeks start to trickle in here. I pray you embrace them, love them, and speak life to them. Why? You represent the number one kingdom at Cross Point Church that has the number one king. And there's a responsibility for that church. There's a commitment that we make living inside that kingdom. And before I move on, I'm just wondering, as our worship team prepares, I'm just thinking, I wonder if there's somebody in the house today or somebody watching online that is not part of the number one kingdom that your pastor lives in, does not serve the number one king of all the universe. So I'm going to give you the opportunity right now as we stop and pause. I want to prepare you to leave the sanctuary today or shut off your device. and transition from living in one kingdom to living in a new kingdom, the number one kingdom. And watch what happens to your life when you go out into the Canton area, when you leave the house today, and you transition. You are transferred in the Greek, means God's going to take you from this kingdom that you're living, and I'm going to transplant you into a new kingdom. A new assignment, a new opportunity, and a new identity. I'm going to build you different in that kingdom. You're going to do different things. You're going to say different things. You're going to act different, be different. Why? You're built different. You're not built by the old carpenter in the old kingdom. You are now crafted as a work of art in a new kingdom. Built different. If that is you today, I'm going to ask everyone just to bow their hearts and close their eyes. If that is you today and you want to be transferred from one kingdom to the next, all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ, the King of that kingdom, as your personal Lord and Savior. If that is you today, I'm not calling you down front. You're not going to be embarrassed, but I will pray corporately for you. If that is you, just raise your hand. That's all you got to do. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? There's hands. Anybody else? Hand in the back. I see those hands. Anybody else? You want to be transferred into the number one kingdom today? I see that hand in the back. I see the hand up front. Is there anybody else? We're going to have a kingdom transfer going on today. I see the hand in the middle section. Anybody else? Four hands, five hands, six hands. Anybody else? We're in the kingdom transfer business this morning, church. Is there anybody else? I see the hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. Anybody else? Hands throughout our worship center. Why? They're realizing that the kingdom that they're living in is not the kingdom they want to end up in. Is there anybody else? Father God, in Jesus' name, for the hands that were raised, Lord God, you saw every hand. Many hands, Lord God. Father, they are waving a banner of surrender, saying, I want a transfer of kingdoms, Lord. Father God, I pray right now for each and every hand, Lord, that raised to heaven, saying, I want to be in that kingdom. I want to be in the kingdom, the number one kingdom with the number one king. I'm tired of the kingdom I'm in. It's not working. Lord God, I ask for your favor upon their lives, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that they transition into that kingdom, Lord. They have made the declaration. Now they are in the kingdom. Father, I pray that you ground them there. That you speak to them where they need to go, what they need to do. Lord, I pray they return to Cross Point Church next Sunday. I pray, Lord God, they get involved in small group ministry at the church, Lord. I pray, Lord God, they seek out the ministries, the many ministries this body of believers offers to help them stay in the number one kingdom. And I pray today, Lord God, that you give them favor, Lord. The situations they're going to face as they depart the sanctuary today or shut off that device. I pray, Lord God, that you guide their steps as the scripture teaches us. We know, Lord God, you as our King, we as your disciples, you don't ask us to go it alone. I pray, Lord God, that they dust off the Bible, they start opening and reading your word. I pray they get to the Gospel of John, Lord, and they read and study. And I thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got one more question for you before we close and leave today. I just want a commitment. I want you to commit with me today, church, that you're going to do exactly what Paul writes about. You're going to resist the society that we live in. It's not the kingdom we live in. I want a commitment that we're going to shine. That's witness out in the areas that we live. And that we're going to advance the kingdom, the number one king. So, church, that is your commitment today. I want to pray for that before we leave. Don't be afraid. Raise your hand with your pastor. I'm going to commit today, Pastor. When I leave here, my resistance will go up. My witness will go up. And I'm going to shine like the stars in heaven. I'm going to do it. Father God, for the hands that are raised today, Lord God, I pray your power upon them, Lord. I pray for boldness, Lord God. I pray that they go do what they're called to do. I pray that they rise up resistance against the enemy. Lord God, I pray that they shine as witnesses in the community. I pray they advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ on the offense, Lord. Lord God, let them be noticed in the communities that they live, Lord God, both in the Canton and surrounding areas, and all the communities that are represented by the people watching online. Those people as well, Lord God, throughout the many states that are watching, throughout the many countries that are watching this morning, Lord God, let them interrupt the societies they live in and advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ with the number one King of the universe, Jesus. In that name I pray, above all names, I pray. Amen. Church, stand with me as we represent and thank God for the number one kingdom that we serve. Let's just go out and celebrate. Church, your pastor thanks God that I represent the number one kingdom. Sing like you represent the same.
He picked me up.